I don't want us to get stagnant, church. I don't want you to come every single Sunday knowing exactly what's going to happen. How boring would that be? Got to ask God what He wants to do. Amen? But I'm asking Him right now with my heart. I know one thing. It's this. It's Veterans Day. We want to honor you who has served. And God put this on my heart this morning to do. If you've served the country in any capacity at any time, that means you, Joshua, so you want to get down here, please. Anyone at all, will you please stand to your feet? You've served the country at any time. Thank you. Give him a hand. Amen. I want us to do something here. Yeah, give them more. If it weren't for them, we wouldn't have freedom. Not in this country. Amen. Thank you. Men and women, anyone, before you be seated, will you come join me up here at the front? Come join me here at the front and face us this way. I want us to do something. God put this on my heart this morning. Come on, soldiers. I know you walked faster than that years ago. Come on now. You're like, it was a long time ago. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your service. Steve, head usher, will you come over here, please, sir? Will everyone stand and turn around and face the flag? We're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance this morning. And Steve is going to lead us in that. Do you remember it? Amen. Soldiers, if you want to, I know you're not in your dress blues, but feel free to salute if you'd want. Everyone else who's a civilian, put your hand on your heart. We're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You may be seated. Seated. Thank you so much. Thank you, men. Thank you so much. God's first, church. God's always first. But listen, you're a Christian American. That's how you say it. I'm a Christian American. It's Christ first, America second. But listen, you got to honor where we're from. Amen? I realized there was a... some voting happening this last Tuesday, and I realize some of y'all probably pretty upset. Some of you were happy. But besides all that, it's good to serve the kingdom, amen? It's good to be a Christian. Craig, sorry I didn't see your head up there. Thank you for coming down, too. It wasn't just Josh up there. So thank you for coming down. So last week was incredible. Amen? If you were here, do you agree? Amen? I believe there was a shift in the spiritual realm. Oh, by the way, I'm Pastor Harris, lead pastor here at First Open Bible. I'm not some random guy that just grabbed a mic and put it on this suit this morning. Amen. Amen. Got to have order in God's house. So, yes. There was a shift in the spiritual realm when it came to your life, this church body, and many idols fell 7 days ago. Amen? If that was you today, or that was you last week, today, will you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. See, we learned a lot about idols in our worship. We learned about what must first come in our lives. Who do we worship? See, idols are not necessarily immoral things. Sometimes they're good things. At least we see them as good. An idol is an idol when we love it too much. Good, bad, and indifferent. It's an idol. And they're wicked. It's loving a creation more than a creator. So how can we, right, this morning, how on earth did we worship God? How do we have a relationship with an idol-hating God? You know, God hates idols and we worship them. How can we have a relationship with such a God? How can we stand here today? Because today, we all plead guilty to the charge of idol worship. We've all bowed at some point or another to idols. Parents, your children can be an idol. Just a little plug. Did you know, a lot of times, if you're married and you have children, the world says children first. God says spouse first. Okay? That's backwards. That's not right. Right? When I grew up, and I've said this before, you know, when it's time for vacation, yes, get an input from your kids. True. But if you and your spouse want to go on vacation, I remember this. I'm just lucky that my parents brought me. Amen? Right? Right? If I get a souvenir, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. Amen. Children are not first. They can become an idol. Everything is determined by your children. That's an idol. Two become one flesh. Not five become one flesh, or four or three become one flesh. It's a little plug this morning. See, we all stand here today and we plead guilty to the charge of idol worship. So in Old Testament times, if you're caught worshiping idols or worshiping anyone else other than Yahweh, you can be killed for your crimes. No matter what, a great sacrifice had to take place for the guilty. So why are we not killed now when it comes to idol worship? Does anybody have a dollar in here today? If you have a dollar, we take out your purse or wallet real quick and just put it up real quick. Just put it up in your hand real fast. $1 bill. You got a dollar, right? Put it up, hold it up. See that dollar? Amen. All right, hold it up, hold it up. Okay, got that dollar. All right, there's give me that dollar. Okay, here you go. Here's a dollar. Give you that dollar. Okay, here's a dollar. Thank you. Here's a dollar. Amen, amen. There's a dollar for you. It's awesome. Amen, amen. A lot of people have dollars, right? Amen. There you go. Let's do this one. There you go. That looks good. Doing some good exchanges here. There you go, sir. All right, all right. Somebody missing a dollar? I think this guy is. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That was a nice exchange, wasn't it? Dollar for a dollar. See, that might be a nice exchange and kind of goofy, but I want to tell you about an amazing exchange this morning. This exchange wasn't between 6-7 people that just happened. This exchange is involving a three-way transaction. See, it's between God the Father, God the Son, and humble sinners who throw themselves at the mercy of God. This exchange took place 2,000 years ago when God the Son, infinite and eternal, wrapped himself up in a fragile human body. See, the universe maker spent 33 years with us down here walking the earth in a mortal body. But because of him, the sick were made well. Amen? The oppressed were set free. Mangled hands were straightened. And lifeless legs got up and danced before the Lord. The poor and the dirty found someone to touch them. And the wicked found someone who would save them. Sinless purity marked everything Jesus did. Think, he never cussed when he slammed his fingers in a door. He never stole a lustful glance. He never muttered in discontentment. There wasn't even a speck of idolatry within his heart. He truly did what he said we should all do. Do you remember what he said in Matthew verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 37? He said this, Jesus replied, you, he's talking to us, must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. So you can say all you want. Does the gospel in your life preach out of your mouth or out of your life? Because the gospel preached out of Jesus' mouth and his life. Jesus never exchanged the glory of a created thing for the glory of God. Hebrews 4:15 says this, "This high priest of ours, Jesus, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do. Yet he did not sin." Amen? See, to me, that's not condemnation. That's conviction. That Jesus could do that, so could we. He's our hope, because we don't do it in our own strength. Amen? Too many of us fighting these sins and these idols in our life on our own strength. Jesus was the only person in the history of mankind that did not stand guilty as charged of idol worship. So some of you may think the greatest injustices happen the first Tuesday in November on election years, right? This is an injustice! Sound like the Grinch, right? But you're wrong. The greatest injustice happened to our Savior, the world maker, God incarnate, Emmanuel, when he was murdered 2,000 years ago. He was murdered for nothing, and he was murdered for everything. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was arrested by an angry mob of religious leaders who were jealous of God in the flesh. They were not content until they got what they wanted. The weak governor of that region wouldn't declare God innocent. So Jesus was beaten, he was mocked by soldiers, and they had the audacity to also spit in. And then at the end, Jesus was put to death in a manner usually only reserved for the worst criminals. His arms and legs were stretched to the point of dislocation, and then he was pierced by railroad spikes to hang on a tree till he suffocated to death. Jesus was crucified. He was murdered for nothing. He was murdered for everything. So in the midst of such horrors, a great exchange took place. At the cross, Jesus fell under the terrible, crushing hammer of God's wrath. Jesus was found guilty of idol worship. He was punished for sins. Not for his own sins, for he had no idols of his own. He was punished for every person who would turn to God for salvation. Noon struck that Middle Eastern day, and darkness fell upon Calvary. The wrath of God fell upon Jesus, crushing him and torturing him. Several thousand years prior, this prophet, his name is Isaiah. I don't think he played the trumpet. Sorry, Isaiah. But he had a glimpse of the future. He had a glimpse of this very moment. He had a glimpse of this injustice. And this is what Isaiah said in chapter 53, verse 5. He said, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." The Father threw idolatry of millions upon Jesus and then punished Jesus as if he was the idol worshiper. Jesus became so spiritually grotesque, the Father's eyes. He couldn't even look at his son any longer. And Jesus cried out this in Matthew 27, verse 46. It said, "About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" See, the Son of Man exchanged his purity for our wickedness. There's no comparison to know just what Jesus experienced at this time. Jesus was wrapped in the filth of millions of wicked acts. And God treated him as if he committed those very acts himself. But because of this horrific exchange, another magnificent exchange can take place. It's at the moment when a sinner cries out to God for salvation. "God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I keep messing up this life. Lord, I got no hope." I need something different. See, in that moment, God forgives every sin. I need you, Jesus. I recognize you as my Savior. That you truly did think of me 2,000 years ago. And you took those whips and those chains and you drug that tree up a hill. You took railroad spikes in your wrists and in your feet so I could be set free. I need you as my Savior, God. See, it's at that moment God forgives every, say every church, every sin he or she has ever committed. Anything you've done in the past, you're doing now or in the future, Jesus died for that. Anything you've ever committed, and he credits the sinless life of Jesus to you and I. Forgiveness of sins and the power to change is only possible because of this powerful exchange that happened 2,000 years ago. See, the sinner's idolatry is exchanged for the Savior's perfections. God now treats the sinner as though this individual is righteous, sinless, and perfect, and his sins are totally removed. And he's now found innocent in the sight of God. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Here is our glorious exchange. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Jesus was forsaken by God, and we were welcomed into the presence of God. Our wicked exchange is swallowed up by the great divine exchange. I want to ask you a question. If all we ever received from this divine exchange was salvation, wouldn't that be an eternity of contentment? Wouldn't that be complete fulfillment? Deserving hell but receiving heaven? We run toward wrath, but instead we're pulled into the arms of forgiveness. We curse God. In return, he washes us in the blood of Jesus. Could anything be more fulfilling than receiving heaven? Guess what? This divine exchange says there is more. Think, if the gospel brought forgiveness of sins but didn't give us the power over sin, it'd feel like a cheap trick. Right? I'm saved, but yet I still have to live the same. I still have the same punishments. I'm still going through the same cycles of life. See, what good would it be if our sins were forgiven, but we couldn't stop worshiping idols? Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says this, "But God is so rich in mercy." Amen? "And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us," what? "Life. When he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved." See, prior to salvation, we were spiritually dead. God-hating idol worshipers. We had no love for God, and we had no power to obey him. But because God is bursting with mercy and overflowing with love, he made us alive. Do you understand why you worshiped like you did this morning? Because you're alive. You ain't dead. See, my God's not dead, and I'm not either. Amen? That dead world needs an alive Christian. Don't act dead when you walk out these doors, because you're not. Our spiritually dead hearts suddenly pulsed with life. And we had new desires blossoming in our hearts. Desires to please God, love God, and kill sin. Amen? Man, say hallelujah if you're different than the day you first got saved. Hallelujah. The power of sin was broken. And the chains from our idols were snapped. No more shackles, no more chains. For I am free. I'm free. The exchange from Jesus gives us not only heaven and eternal life, but gives us the power over our idols, and our idols no longer rule us. But because of this divine exchange, church, there's even more. I feel like that guy in the commercial. But wait, there's even more, right? If you call now, we'll double. There's even more in this divine exchange. The death and the resurrection of Christ kicks down the door of the warehouse of God's blessings. The divine exchange opens the door, or tears the veil, if you will, to God with full access. We can come into the presence of God at all times and at all places. This is the greatest benefit of the divine exchange. See, we have forgiveness of sins. We have a new heart, eternal life, the power over sin, and it all points to this magnificent end that Jesus Christ ushers us into the presence of God. And it's in the presence of God that we find our soul's deepest fulfillment. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the way of life, granting me, is a gift. You grant me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. If we want contentment, church, if you want to be fulfilled, you want to be content, we need to spend time, much time in the presence of God. Too many of y'all eat Sunday morning only, and you're starving all week long. The presence of God will satisfy you. It'll fill you up. It'll encourage you. It'll strengthen you. It'll give you joy unspeakable. But a lot of us only eat on Sunday morning. And you ask the pastor to feed you. Do you understand that I have access to God just like you do? There's no man greater in this world that has more access to God than anyone else. Jesus tore that veil. See, God tore it. Why'd he tear it? He tore it from the top down. Why? Because he did it. He didn't tear from the bottom up. You can get into the Holy of Holies because of Jesus and the sacrifice he made, the great divine exchange. See, this is the greatest benefit. Through the exchange of Jesus, we can have the unshakable, always available, always satisfying source of fulfillment, God himself. Okay, so let's wrap this up. So the great exchange provides us this, forgiveness of sins, amen? If this resonates in your heart, say amen. Forgiveness of sins, amen. Heavenly eternal life, amen. A new heart, amen. The power over your idols, and now this exchange also gives us access to the presence of God whenever and wherever. Amen. Where two or more gathers, he's in the midst of us. Guess what? Aisle 8, two Christians come and talk about God, you're having church. Aisle 8 is not safe for the sinners and the devil. We're having church in aisle 8. Right? Pump number 4, having church. How you doing today? How was church? Glory to God. Let me tell you about what God did in my life today. Right? Casey's, get some Jesus. Come on. So that provides all that. But church, here's the cherry on top. Right? You think it ends there? I mean, if that was all we got, hallelujah. Right? That is beyond fulfillment. There's no other religion, Buddha, right? There's no other believers or people or believing in your mind and the things over things like Socrates. You can't teach us this. Allah, you don't have this. See, but here's the cherry on top. church. Through the divine exchange of Jesus, we also get to become children of God. It would be incredible if God did nothing more than forgive us and allow us to be lowly servants in His kingdom. But church, this is no $1 exchange. This is the divine exchange. He lifts us out of the gutters of scum, cleans off our filth, then wraps us in clean robes of righteousness. Then He embraces us as children. 1 John 3:1 says, "So how very much our Father loves us, that He calls us His children." And that is what we are. Children of the Most High. Every morning, we wake up as children of the King. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday. Every morning, you're a child of the King. So as I make you a prince and a princess, the kingdom of God. Full inheritance. See, we're adopted, loved, treasured, and blessed. There's no trial, no circumstance, no need, no pain, no heartache that can ever separate us from the intense love of a compassionate Father. Romans 8 explains this the best. Verses 38 and 39, it says, and I'm convinced. Are you convinced this morning? See, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the fears for today or the worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So the truth this morning is, church, look at me. The truth this morning is this. There was a life-giving exchange for our unfulfilled hearts. Do you want to be more content than try to spend one day or one week or one month or the rest of your life trying to comprehend, marvel at the divine adoption that has taken place? Do you understand that you are an enemy of God? And He doesn't just make you a friend. He makes you His son and daughter. That don't happen unless it's from God. So you're a child of God. I'll tell you about a story real quick. And I'm glad this person put it on Facebook so I didn't have to ask permission. I live in a family of 6 people. We have 4 kids and 2 are adopted. And I remember looking at my sister and said, "Do you understand how special you are?" I said, "Mom and Dad had us. Mom and Dad picked you and Mikey, hand-picked you and Mikey to be in our family." Do you understand that you've been hand-picked from God to be in His family? Creator of the universe is really your Father. He loves you with an intense fatherly affection. Cares for you with the heart of a father. He hears your requests with the heart of a father, and He watches over you with a diligent eye like a father would. See, fulfillment is thanking God for calling you a child instead of an enemy. Fulfillment is your gift. Say gift. Knowing God adopted you instead of sending you to hell. He said, "No, I don't think so." Right there. I want that one. 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 Not only are you not going to hell, you're my daughter. I love you. Not only are you not going to hell, you're my son. I love you. everything's going to change today. All you have to do is this. See, this morning, you may be unfulfilled. Or maybe you've been living an unfulfilled life. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you forgot. God offers you fulfillment. He offers you contentment. He offers you wholeness. He offers you a divine exchange. Romans 10, 9 through 13 says this. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us this, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives them generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Believers, falling in love is easy. Staying in love can be hard. Can it? Making that choice every day. I want to remind you that love is a choice. It's not just a feeling. You never fall out of love. You just choose to stop loving. It's a selfish way of saying, I choose me over them. Well, we do that when we worship idols instead of worshiping God. I feel like the presence of God is here. Amen. In a tangible way. I was reminded this week, there's a dying world. People are going to hell every day. I'm reminded that I have a place to tell them about Jesus. And if I don't, there may be people that go to hell because I didn't. I got to get out of my comforts with the things that I like to do. Just do what Jesus did. Go into the people and love them where they're at. Tell them a new way. Tell them how they're alive. If they accept Christ, they can be alive. Today, there's dead people in here. I don't care if you've sat in these pews for 40 years. You can be spiritually dead. Because we can love idols more than we love God. Because falling in love is easy, but staying in love is hard. But there's a divine exchange that took place 2,000 years ago. And I want to ask you a question today. Worship team, you may come up if you'd like. How do you love Jesus today? You know he loves you. He had a divine exchange for you. But how do you love him today? See, being fulfilled is not in the pleasures of this world. It's in the presence of God, and that's the only way. But you can't enter the presence of God without the gate. That's what Psalms tells us. Jesus is the gate. It's the gateway. How do you pray? This is how you pray. You pray through Jesus to the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray through Jesus to the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we don't have access to the Father without Jesus. There's people in here today that haven't had access to the Father because they haven't accepted Jesus into their heart. And there's people in here today that maybe have done it a long time ago, but you've been worshiping idols instead of worshiping the one that makes everything, the Creator. You've been worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. I'm going to ask God just to move right here in a moment. Will you close your eyes? Father in heaven, I love you. Thank you for loving me. God, I didn't deserve it. I deserved hell. But this isn't an exchange. God, I gave you nothing. And you gave me absolutely everything. It's like handing you a dollar, God. Or coming to you broke. And you give me a credit card with no limit. Exchange doesn't make sense. But your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, Lord. But I remember that day when I was in ninth grade sitting in a church. And I heard a message that God loves me the way that I am. That I don't have to come and clean up. I arrive the way I am and God loves me enough that He wants to help me in that. That I'm not a mess up. But God loves me right then and there. God, I remember that day where I stood to my feet and I waved my hands and said, I need a Savior to save me. God, I've never been the same again. You took me on adventures that I've never dreamed. And even though there's times, even when I first got married, God, I had no money. But yet I felt so fulfilled. And even in the struggles and the worries and the wonders and the pain, God, you never left me. And even when I worshiped things that you created more than I worshiped you, you never left me. I know there's people in here today, God, that don't know you. Like I've had the privilege to know you. And you put on my heart this week that today's the day for them. That their life will forever be changed. May you move on their heart right now, Holy Spirit. They won't understand what's happening, but they just know it's right. Maybe they'll cry or start feeling something inside of them, or something in them will start talking. They know it's not them. They know it's not the enemy. But they know it's a loving father trying to reach their new adopted kid. God wants to adopt you today. With every head bowed and eyes closed, Father, speak to him now. That's you today. You don't know this Jesus with this incredible divine exchange. Will you raise your hand? I want to agree with you right now. You don't know Jesus as your Savior and you say, I need you today. That's you today. Will you raise your hand? I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Over here on my right, on your left, on the far, is there anybody in this section that would say, I need this Savior? Save my life. There's an exchange that happened for me. If that's you today, will you raise your hand? Okay, I'm going over one more section. The middle left, my middle right here. Is there anybody that would say, I need a Savior? Would you raise your hand? I just want to agree with you. Prayer. All right, middle. See that one in the front. Is there anyone else that would say, I need a Savior today? Will you raise your hand? Far right, my far left, anybody in this section? Anybody would like to give their heart to Jesus this morning and forever be changed by this divine exchange? Okay, I want to ask one more question. You can look at me. Do you remember what it says in Romans? Chapter 10. It says, if you openly declare. I realize it's a private thing, but it's God's family. And we love you. You openly declare your faith. You will not be disgraced. There's another verse that says, if you're not ashamed of Jesus in front of man, Jesus won't be ashamed of you in front of his Father. So today, church, I don't care how long you've been sitting here, nobody else is going to judge you either. You truly have been worshiping idols instead of God, and you want to give Him another chance in your heart today and say, God, make that divine exchange. It was easy falling in love a long time ago, but God, I've been struggling loving you. That's you today. You stand to your feet. I know there's more than that. Don't let pride in. The humble. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Says, I need to love God more. I've been loving idols. Church, I want to just tell you, if I wasn't already standing, I'd be standing right now. Amen. Amen. See more people stand. I want to pray for you. Will you come up here, please, if you're standing? Board of Elders, will you come join me, please, Pastor Cody? So right now, it's real chill, right? Real sweet. We're going to pray a prayer, but we're going to do what heaven does. They're not this somber. They're celebrating. There's a party in heaven. It says in God's word, and you're the one that accepted Christ, amen, today. It says that it says in God's word that because of you giving your heart to Jesus, we're going to pray a prayer in a moment. It says declare with your mouth. It says there is a party in heaven for you today. A party that a daughter has been adopted into the kingdom of God. I want to pray for you. What's your first name?
Anna.
And Anna reminded me today that one of our outreaches, I met her and I've seen her before. And I'm so. And today's the first day you've come to church. Amen? Here?
This church.
Amen. Guess what? These people came to hear your message today. Amen? Why? Because this is a family. And we've all been adopted into the kingdom of God. And guess what? Today you are as well. Let's say this prayer together, okay? Will you close your eyes? I want you to repeat after me. Father in heaven, I give you my heart. And I give you my life. I thank you for your son, Jesus. And he is the Savior.
He is the Savior.
And the Lord of my life. God, will you adopt me now? As I enter. Your kingdom. Forever. Teach me to love. The way you want me to love. May all my idols. Fall today. You are my love. In Jesus' mighty name. Forgive me. Amen. And now just close your eyes and stay right there. Just make that real with God. Just make that real. Just you and Him talking right now. He's wrapping His arms around you. He loves you. He loves you so much. He calls you a daughter. He says you're precious and you're beautiful. He's got plans and a purpose for your life. He says you'll never ever be the same again. And no matter where you've come from or where you're about to go, everything's different now. See, He's not going to necessarily change your circumstances, but He's going to change you in those circumstances. Now you're not fighting alone anymore. He goes before you in every battle, and He loves you. My wife's just going to minister to you now. Thank you. Look at that, servant. Thank you. This is a book for you later. Just explain some stuff. Now what? I've given my heart to God, but now what? All right. Good to see you. Mm. Will you close your eyes with me? Will you guys hold hands? Someone hold your hand too. You hold mine. Come on. Oh yeah, hold his hand. Come here, Phil. Lord, we're sorry for making things that it's not. Reminded of that song that you gave, a man who worships. Lord, we want to come back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, God. We're sorry for the things that we've made it, but it's all about you. That message you gave Matt Redman years ago, God, speak to them now. I pray right now for every idol in their life. I pray that not one idol they'll find strength in or comfort in starting from this day forward. I pray if there are some sort of things in their lives that cause them to rely on them other than God, may they fall and be broken right now by the blood and by the power of Jesus. The devil's a liar. Our flesh is fleeting. It tosses us back and forth as we try to rely on the things of this world. But God, they say right now they want to rely on you. God, they've fallen in love at one point, but it's been hard to love, God. But I'm reminded it's not us that knows how to love, for you first loved us, and you teach us how to love. Holy Spirit, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, may they feel the overwhelming love of the Father completely right now, all the way out to their fingertips. Wrap your arms around them, whisper into their ears how much you love them, that everything's gonna be okay. Quit relying on those things. They don't matter. Look in my eyes. All things will be okay. God, we love you. Now I want you to repeat after me, everyone I'm holding hands with right now. Father, I love you. Please forgive me for loving something you made. Sorry, I sought after your hand instead of your face. Lord, I want intimacy with you again. Teach me how to love you and not the things of this world. God, I don't feel condemned. I feel conviction. Conviction has hope, and my hope is in you. I love you, and I stand before everyone today that I'm going to love you again from this day forward. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, just seal that right now with your eyes closed. Just seal that with your God. He loves you. He's the Father of you. He adopted you long time ago. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing. We worship you. We love you, God. We worship you. All right, since you're brothers and sisters, will you love on one another? Love on one another. Hey, church. Amen. So you might be really emotional right now, but Brent, will you help me on this? Whatever you sing, praise. No worship, we're going to praise. Why? There's a party in heaven right now. There's multiple people falling in love with Jesus again. There's somebody that came to the kingdom of God, and right now it's not somber in heaven. There are cymbals clashing, hands raised, angels are worshiping. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is worthy to be praised. Salvation. Today there's another one that came in the kingdom of God. The Lamb of God was slain so we could know him and love him. Amen? Will you stand with me? We are going to party and worship on our way out. Amen? Because this is a celebration. And as we go, we're going to change the world. Why? Because the world changer lives in us. Amen. Love you. Let's get it.